Hi, this is Dr. Kimberly Lindert, and you're listening to Incredible Life Creator Podcast. My guest today is Shadid Elazer. Shadid Elazer is a Maryland-based U.S. Navy veteran and creator of a business model that was licensed by 17 U.S. states and utilized for a government re-election campaign. Experts and entrepreneurs hire Shadid and his team to help them convert their signature online programs and best-selling books into a license-ready curriculum that is sold to corporations, universities, and government agencies. This content licensing strategy increases recurring revenue for businesses and solves the problem of the time for money exchange for his clients. Welcome to the podcast, Shadid.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's an honor, a privilege, and a pleasure to share this time and space with you and your audience.
Well, thank you. And thank you for your service.
My pleasure.
Yes. So just so people can get to know you, tell us your story, how you started out and how you got to be doing what you're doing now.
My goodness. The journey starts way in the way back time machine. So it's a few pillars that guide my life. And one would be family is the first business. So I was raised in a family that had the mentality of no matter where you work, when you come home, you're building for the family. So if you're an accountant, if you are a custodian, everyone has a talent that they work on in their off hours. So it may be a 9 to 5, but then you have your 5 to 9, and that's where you develop your passion. And we collaborated on many different projects growing up. And so that's the framework that I was wired with. And so second pillar is to profit is to reinvest. So I run a for-profit business that when we generate sales revenue, we look to reinvest into community. So the mission behind the work is to empower underfunded, broken, lost communities through the power of entrepreneurship and to provide that ownership and accountability, plant that seed within communities to help it grow. So where someone may say, I want to make $1 million in a calendar year, we may say, we want to rebuild 1,000 classrooms, for example. And so that's the mantra behind what I do, why I do it. And that's the framework that we go down this journey in this conversation.
Got it. So was being in the Navy the first thing that you did? Was that your first career choice?
I worked so many hours as a child in family business that by the time I made it to the Navy, I was a grizzled veteran of numerous jobs and numerous odd tasks within the different businesses that my family started and ultimately ran. But in the Navy, an interesting thing happened where that's where I found my superpower. And so the way the story goes is I was part of a unit that was considered the first responders for the attacks on 9/11, the attacks on the Twin Towers, 9/11. And so when we went to respond, there's a period of time where there's readiness. And so within, let's say, a Navy context, if you look, those of you who are tuning in and listening, I want you to look at your desk or look at your counter, wherever you are, and think about the stapler on your desk. Think about the printer. Think about, let's say, the notebook. Each piece of equipment in a Navy context, you must get certified to use. And so we were heading into a battle zone. So readiness must be 100%. The problem, so this mandate comes from the Pentagon to all battle units within the fleet or the battle group, you must be ready to handle this scenario. Because if you have certain weapons and they don't work, then it's very dangerous. And so I was stationed on the oldest aircraft carrier in the fleet, which means that things were broken, things didn't always work, and everything's held together by what we would say duct tape and bubble gum. And so with this, we received funding for a software package. And so with that software package, it will allow us to track our readiness. At the time, our readiness was tracked literally on a sheet of paper with a two-hole punch at the top and placed on the wall. It was not organized. So in my off time, what I would do is work. We work 15 hours a day. And in our off, my off time, I learned the software system. And so what led to, let's say, my aha moment was with the software system, I created a training package so that people can get up to speed and get their readiness certifications complete. So in my division, which was Combat Systems First Division, there's a total of 10 divisions. Our numbers went up in terms of readiness. The other supervisors in the other division said, why is this happening? Why are they so successful? So my supervisor said, well, E-Laser, because we all go by last name, he came up with this program that we're going to allow you to use. So I created a train the trainer model, which is my first example of licensing. So I packaged my knowledge and I gave permission to other departments to use it. And so this resulted, and this never happens, the Navy promoted me to a position. They created a position for me to manage all departments, which led to over 2,000 people becoming certified. And I earned a Navy Achievement Medal during a time of war. And that was my first accidental case of licensing.
So does your mind work that way? Or do you have a real organized mind? Like, do you think very linearly? So was this an easy task, or was this something you really had to dig into and figure it out and put it together?
Well, as with anything in life, when you are at your most fatigued is typically the time where you don't want to do it. So for those people who are going to work every day and commuting, and then you come home and take care of your family, and then you say, oh, now I have to build that business on the side, you oftentimes feel tired, exhausted, and you don't have the momentum to get started. So after a 15-hour workday, the last thing I want to do is learn a system. And I think that my brain isn't necessarily structured. I train myself as a creative problem solver. So one core pillar that I live by is bloom where you're planted. So no matter what the circumstances are, you look at what you have and you look to put something together in motion. Now, at this time, if you're on an aircraft carrier within a battle group, an aircraft carrier, the communication center is the first place that is attacked. So I worked in a communication center. So it was a necessity for us to increase our readiness. So I saw it as a creative way to solve a problem. Let me take what I know and put it in motion and see what happens.
Beautiful. Now you've expanded that out into the market. Why don't you talk about that, what you're doing now with that?
Well, what ultimately ended up happening was I came back to the US and began to get involved in government contracting. And so with government contracting, there's a few facets that tie into licensing. First of all, let's say if the Pentagon, for example, is installing a widespread install of Microsoft Office. So Microsoft Office is installed. So the question becomes, who is going to train our employees and information workers on how to use Microsoft Word? It's, you know, if it was 2003, there's now the 2007 version. So who's going to train the differences of the system? And that became a big question. And so I packaged training that was related, customized for the system that's being deployed. So within government agencies, there's custom systems that don't exist in the real world. And so I would approach different companies that were looking to land contracts to grow their business and partner with them and provide a training solution for their IT solution. And this started to happen over and over and over again. The second aha moment, the epiphany came where I realized one day that, wait a minute, coaches, speakers, experts, they have packages, which may be their signature system, their book, and the same rules apply where they want to give permission to an agency, a university, or corporation. And when I realized and connected the dots that this industry also needs those services, then a superhero was born.
Mm-hmm. So talk about that, I guess you would call it intellectual property. So what you're doing, does that actually protect that intellectual property, or do you use legal things and then you're actually licensing it out to people?
That's a great question. So this would tie into what makes me unique. So today, you can go to an intellectual property attorney and they will take you through the trademark process. They may take you through the copyright process. They may secure your domain for your digital program, for your course that you're ready to more or less take to the prime time, take it to a professional level, starting to generate sales. And now you want to take it a bit more seriously. And so when you go to an intellectual property attorney, you're paying intellectual property attorney rates. So what happens in a standard licensing deal where you're giving permission to an organization to consume your content for its target audience, which may be employees, it may be students, there's always going to be a back and forth negotiation where module 2, for example, may need to include references to the university. Maybe the university wants it to be Harvard Red or Yale Blue and White. And so the attorney, bless their hearts, the attorney is not trained to be a content specialist. So the work that's being done to enhance the content in order to make it ready to be licensed, you're paying attorney rates for that to happen for content tasks. So what attorneys started to do was come to me and say, I have a client who has a great program, make it license ready. And so that's where I stand out, is that I work on the planning and creation layer of content licensing and help to fully develop the program using the language that the attorney would use. So it's the perfect handshake so that when it makes it to the attorney's side of the house, everything is taken through a precise checklist so that the program is built with the proper foundation in mind versus building a house and forgetting to install the plumbing.
That was really helpful and clarified things. So yeah. And when you're working with people for these, this course creation, so they've already created the course, do you actually help them make it more usable or more user-friendly?
Great question. Another key distinction is that we don't actually sell information. We sell fanatical customer support. So when we talk about courses, for example, one of the big gaps that prevent courses from being, let's say, the revenue generator that they're promised to be, is that statistically speaking, industry-wide, the majority of people who purchase a course or e-learning material, they do not complete the first module. They never even sign in. Now, there's less than 10% of people who even complete the course from start to finish. So the accountability and customer experience is drastically lacking from the course experience. And so what we provide is that customer experience. And to your point, we can work with expert or an entrepreneur in the planning phases, in that we create a modified business plan for each project that we work on so that we treat it as an actual business model. Mm-hmm. Or if someone comes to the table with intellectual property already created, we help to fine tune it and make it license ready by transforming it from course to program to curriculum.
Got it. So have you found a solution for people who buy courses and don't complete them? I mean, I know I've bought courses that I've gotten halfway through and life happens, or I just, for some reason, I stop.
Well, it's yes, we have a solution for people who buy courses and don't complete them. It starts with the human element in increasing touch points. So any digital product that we offer, we provide ongoing support. And so our first step is to take it away from, we transform it from a course into a program. And I'll explain the difference. The difference between a course and a program, first of all, our definition of a course is packaging or productizing your knowledge to answer the same 20 questions that you may have whenever someone new is working with you. So you're answering those questions, you're leveraging your time, freeing up your the time for money exchange. When it goes and converts into a program is a course with three key attributes. That is mentorship, accountability, and community. And so the challenge with having a program is that if you're leading a community, if you're hosting the accountability sessions, one-on-one sessions, and you're providing mentorship, you can't scale because you're doing all the work. And so that's where the curriculum comes into play, where we help our clients develop the customer experience and a true business model around their services so that they can hire certified facilitators and instructors. They can create more or less a blueprint where the experience is the same each and every time that you deliver it. And the course, let's say, publisher can take a step back and allow for the business around that educational content to take place.
So let me summarize and you tell me if I got it.
Sure.
So a course is basically your intro and it's automated in some way so people can get the information. And then when you get into the program, there's touch points, there's the mentoring, there's the community, there's the accountability. But when you are a course creator and you've created this and you put all the work in, but you don't want to be in it day to day, you will train trainers or facilitators, and they are the ones that actually take people through the course.
You summed it up very well.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to make sure because there was a few steps in there.
Absolutely.
So I can see where that would, you know, free people who are creators to keep creating, because, you know, there's different kinds of people. I know I'm a creator, and then there's builders or operators. I don't want to be operating. I like to be creating. So if I could create a program and then train someone and they're running the program, I can be over here creating the next program and training the next trainers.
Sounds like a great model to me.
It sounds like a great model. You created an awesome model. Very freeing. So what are some of the things people have got to do instead? Have you heard people saying they're going skiing or going to the beach?
Well, as part of our process, what we do is we define the end in the beginning. So what does your exit strategy look like? So I received a message today where one of my dear clients, who is a women's weightlifting coach based in Las Vegas, sunny Nevada, has taken the mornings. So in her case, she had a challenge with finding the time for herself. And so she now takes the morning to meditate, to get outside and do grounding and connect with nature and journaling, and is able to work with elite clients while digital products are continuing to work in the background. So in her case, not only is she happy, but her husband as well, because he is a late sleeper. So now there's this peace in the home because the business model works for her and cascades down into the house. So it's each person has a goal. Maybe it's travel. Maybe it's being available as a parent for after school activities such as sports. And let's say maybe taking the child to lessons. And so for each person, it's putting that plan on paper and then slowly working in increments, whether it's one day. So we start with take one day, take 4 hours out the day to live the ideal lifestyle. And then you start to say 5 hours, and we say 8 hours, and we grow from there.
Mm-hmm. It sounds wonderful. And when you're working with someone, I'm sure this varies somewhat, but when you're working with somebody on these projects, is this something where you're actually, I don't know if the word is coaching or helping them, like over a period of 6 months or a year? How long does this process usually take?
Well, it can take up to 9 months, with depending on the, let's say, the full scope of work. But we separate ourselves because we provide a warranty on services delivered. So let's say I'm working with a client, and the client's web designer deletes the third module accidentally, or deletes the entire website that we build. We maintain a copy of all deliverables on the last day that we work together, and we restore no questions asked. And so we have an ongoing support model that is built into our service. So it's not an add-on that you pay for. And so we're in our clients' lives and helping them with their business long after we work together.
Mm-hmm. And then that model that you're teaching people to do, are you actually doing that, or the people you're working with, are they doing that, where you're training people to do what you're doing?
Well, it's, we teach as we go. So all of our sessions, for example, are associated with a program that they can, first of all, go to the strategy session and then view an on-demand version of the general concept. So they get specifics mixed with general concepts and worksheets that they can continuously sharpen their skill set, and we work alongside them. Mm-hmm. And so we look at their org chart. So we're thinking pure business model. We want our clients to be the true CEOs of their business. So the areas where they may lack, it may be graphic design, it may be copywriting, it may be web design, we will fill that gap in, allow for the project to be built, and during our work together, create the job descriptions and overall hiring practices so that they can bring on a team member. So we act as a stopgap solution that allows for our clients to get the work done and provide a transition plan that allows for them to onboard new talent to allow the work to continue.
Wow, that is beautiful. And it sounds like a lot. So let's say I'm new. I know my material, but I haven't created it yet. Should I create it and then call you? Or should I just say, okay, here's my outline of this is what I'm going to cover, and call you at the beginning? Or how should I start?
Well, let's look at objections and why people don't take the step forward. Do-it-yourself-itis is a plague that has infested and infected the entrepreneurial mindset since the beginning of time. And so there's always going to be people who say, I can do it myself. And I always say, if you can do it yourself, it would have already been done, because I wouldn't be in a call and a strategy session unless that person's inspiration summoned me to appear at that session. So it's the inspiration that leads for these meetings to happen. And so when we look at that, it's people who go off and try to create on their own without a roadmap. Again, if you understood licensing and you had that goal, there would be no need for our services. The reason why people come and secure our services is because they want to do it the right way and save themselves time. And so it's always best to give a clear idea and clear picture where you are. And let's say if someone is not ready for the full scope of work, then what we offer are two specific services. One is the sprint project, where that's an 8-week project that will allow for us to create a clear deliverable within the big picture. So end-to-end support. And the other would be our content licensing fundamentals, which is a course that has our live strategy sessions built into it so that they have on-demand support, they can work at their own pace, and then they can come and sit down in a virtual session to get real world support.
Beautiful. Well, I'm learning a lot about that. And I know there's people are putting their shingles out all over, especially now that we've gone so, you know, virtual and online, you know, people are just putting stuff out. And I think a lot of people are not protecting what they're putting out, for one thing, and they're just kind of doing it pell mell, however they can get it out, they're getting it out, but it's not sustainable. And what you're talking about is sustainable and creates lifestyle.
Exactly. And so if you're going to release content, it needs to tie into business objectives, leads, subscribers, sales, customer lifetime value, recurring revenue, and business valuation. And that, I think that's the difference between us and many of our competitors, is that we don't build our solutions from a creative standpoint. We build from a business model.
Because in the end, business is to create income, to create lifestyle, and to take care of yourself, your family.
Means to an end.
Exactly. So just a personal question, what gives you the most happiness and fulfillment in your life?
The most happiness and fulfillment is when I realize that business is a means to an end, and I slow down and I'm able to spend time with people in moments that matter. I love to cook. I was raised in a family that owned a catering business growing up. So we all have our cooking superpower. So the way that we express our affection for each other is through great food. And so everyone has their area. So it's always great to get together and spend time. I love traveling. I love martial arts. So I love running marathons. So the common theme is when I have the time to explore, and I make the time to explore, because I'm very much a person who is always looking to progress and advance and reach my potential athletically and stay connected to those I love.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. So just so people can know what you're offering now, because we've talked about some of it already, and where to find you, where can they find you? Do you have a website? Where can they find you, and what services are you offering right now?
Well, what we're offering now is our content licensing 5-day challenge, or essentially it's the Find Your Intellectual Property 5-day challenge. That will be November 1st through 5th. And what we'll be doing in that challenge will be finding and packaging your intellectual property. And this will allow for you to discover your inner genius and go from there. So there will be a challenge that will take place. And but for the purposes of this broadcast, we have our digital assets execution plan, which is a free guide that will allow you to package your knowledge and skills, escape the time for money trap, using our guided steps to package and monetize your expertise.
Beautiful, thank you. And then did you give your website or where people find you?
You can go to www.digitalassetsexecutionplan.com and learn more about that particular gift.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. And I don't know about anybody else, but this was a lot of new information for me. And hopefully people will think before they just start putting their intellectual property out into the space with no way of getting paid for that. So wonderful information. Thank you.
Yes, our content is to be protected. And if we looked at content as intellectual property, which it absolutely is, it will cause us to treat it with more reverence. And that's what leads to being able to monetize and create freedom for yourself and those you love.
Beautiful. I love it. So I have one last question before we complete. What is your best advice on living an incredible, amazing life?
Bloom where you're planted. That means no matter what your circumstances are, your situation may be, you start today, look around, grab your resources, and just start building.
Beautiful. I love it. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.